Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, December 31st. As Governor John Hickenlooper prepares to leave office, members of his staff are landing some high-profile jobs. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
John Swartout, the governor's senior policy advisor, is leaving the Capitol to lead Colorado Counties Incorporated. The organization supports county commissioners around the state and lobbies on their behalf. Meanwhile, incoming Governor Jared Polis has been busy assembling his own team. He recently hired a dozen cabinet members. The list includes Kate Greenberg, who will be the first woman to lead the state's Department of Agriculture. There are still seven cabinet positions left to be filled. Polis takes office January 8th. I'm Scott Franz.
On Christmas Eve, Governor John Hickenlooper declared a state of emergency in Colorado due to a shortage of propane. The announcement issued by the state contained pretty dire language. It estimated that some 33,000 customers, mostly in rural parts of the state, were facing a winter without heating fuel. KVNF News has learned that in Delta County, at least, the news is not all that bad. Ironically, it turns out that the state of emergency was declared so that a state of emergency would not exist. Dan Binning, executive director of the Colorado State Propane Gas Administration, said that in a bizarre chain of events, six different propane supply points in and around Colorado had to be taken offline over the first 3 weeks of December.
They're all back up now, but it was really kind of a freak deal that everything happened at the same, not necessarily at the same time, but over a three-week span. Typically, they're very reliable and stay up, especially when we need the product. The causes ran the gamut. One of them was for connectivity issues for a couple of days. One was planned maintenance for 3 days. One had a very reliable pump just break, and those pumps in those refineries are huge. You just don't go to the department store or Home Depot or Lowe's and pick up the parts. You got to get them out of Houston, and sometimes even Houston has to import them. Typical things like that, where, you know, things that normally don't break broke, or there was planned maintenance or some connectivity issues. I mean, just very, very unusual set of circumstances.
During a temporary shortage, local propane distributors have to send their trucks to other states to keep up with customer demand. That means long-haul truckers have to go further and drive longer to fill orders. And truckers' hours are regulated by the federal government.
What happens when that occurs is that the transportation companies have to go to large storage facilities where propane is stored underground in salt caverns. The largest one that's accessible for Colorado is in Conway, Kansas, which is quite a drive. It adds about six and a half hours just from Pueblo to get there. And then because of typical winter demand and our temporary supply point shutoffs, there were some lines that the drivers had to wait in, and typically 2 to 5 to 6 hours even. The federal Department of Transportation limits long-haul truckers to 14 hours on duty. And that can be 14 hours of driving, or it can be, if you're waiting in line for 8 hours, that counts too. So what we asked for was for transport drivers only was a two-week suspension of hours of service, federal hours of service regulations, in order to get our storages back up to a comfortable level. Nobody's out of gas, nobody has been out of gas, and we don't anticipate it, especially now with the hours of service relief that we've obtained.
In other words, there isn't actually a propane shortage, but a state of emergency had to be declared in order to get the federal regulations suspended that would allow drivers to deliver the gas in time.
That's exactly right. And they're not really driving more because they're actually resting when they're waiting in line. So it's really not endangering public safety. And rather, it's actually enhancing public safety because we're making sure that we have the propane supplies that we need. It was really a proactive measure to make sure that we didn't have a state of emergency. But the only way you could do it was by declaring a state of emergency.
In Delta County, local propane distributors noted that the demand for propane just indicates a normal winter. Sherry Cobb runs JC Propane out of Delta, along with her sister, Sharon Cobb. Sherry Cobb said that in 22 years of business, she has never seen a state of emergency declared.
No, we've had instances where we've had to have hours of service waivers like we have now. That's what this whole thing is about. So it slowed down the process a little bit, but there is no gas shortage. You just have to go farther to get it.
The federal hours of service regulations will only be suspended until January 8th. By that time, local supplies should be stocked adequately to meet demand as we head into the winter. For Cobb, the governor's state of emergency declaration merely reflected typical cycles in the propane industry.
This is just a typical winter. We're actually having a winter again. You know, if you plan and take care of your customers and make sure you're on top of things, you shouldn't ever be out of gas. And we're not. So it's just a matter of organization and making sure your trucks are coming and going like they should be.
This story is part of Western Slope Resources Reporting, a collaboration between KSJD, KVNF, and three other radio stations in rural Colorado, made possible with support from the Gates Family Foundation.
The meat industry has developed what it's calling a stewardship plan that will ensure the use of antibiotics in livestock will only occur when necessary. Eric Galatis has more.
The major players in the meat industry have developed what they're calling a stewardship plan they say will ensure that they use antibiotics in livestock only when necessary. At issue is the possible development of deadly superbug infections that are resistant to antibiotics and harmful to humans. The group has developed a set of guidelines and processes. Joe Swedberg, chairman of the Farm Foundation, says companies will use these best practices to avoid a situation where antibiotics would be unable to protect people.
You gain antibiotic resistance, and that's concerning across particularly on human and livestock side. So this is taking the One Health initiative and looking to be more judicious and more thoughtful and have good processes in place.
According to a recent Food and Drug Administration report, antibiotic use in farm animals was down 33% between 2016 and 2017. The stewardship plan comes in response to new federal policies that would require label changes for some of the drugs, limit the ways they can be used, and require that a veterinarian administer them. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, December 31st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.